The Heath is a land of endless possibility. Between vast stretches of land and sea are communities of animal folk, living life and sharing in its wonder. Flocks of buggy creatures also share in the bounty of the land, from herds of bumbles to beetles to moths delivering letters by moonlight. And although the war was recent and not forgotten, a widespread culture of hospitality and kindness fills the hearts of many. The lonely conquerors of the past will remain as such. So what are you waiting for? Journey is out there, just waiting for you to dive in, and stories are waiting to be found. Come join us for another adventure and see what lies ahead. And don't forget to start with your left foot forward. Welcome to Left Foot Forward. I am your host, Jonah, or Daisy, and this is a Wander Home actual play series where we built the wonderful land of Heath together and fill the world with beautiful stories. Wander Home is a game written by J Dragon and published by Possum Creek Games. If you want to check it out, there will be a link to where you can find it in the episode description, as always. And also, as always, I have a guest on the show with me today. Hello and welcome. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the class?
Hello, my name is Eric Tanasayas. Hi, it's me.
Wonderful, welcome. I'm so glad you could join me.
Thank you, it's fun. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to play a game. This game has been on my radar for so long, but you know, I just don't have ever had the opportunity to play it. So I'm excited.
Totally fair. There's so many games out there I want to play, but so yes, little time.
Exactly.
And scheduling is the bane of my existence.
Of course.
But without further ado, since you are here, let me tell you a little bit about what is going to happen. We are going to walk through our character creation a little bit side by side, expertly, as I might say, interviewing or throwing in interview questions about TTRPGs in general.
Great.
As we go, you know, the more I say I do it expertly, the more that the listeners will believe me. But
it's true.
There's always the awkward segue that I can hop onto by just talking my way to the next section.
Yeah, you just lean into it. Just accept the fact that there is sometimes no transition to the next segment. And you go like, and this is the transition to the next thing.
Yes, as long as I say the word transition, that boom. Works out.
Yeah.
So let's get to our first question then. And, you know, maybe we'll expand on it a little bit. I basically ask my guests mostly all the same questions, but to start us off, what is your experience with TTRPGs?
Oh, goodness.
How long have you been playing them? You don't have to give us the story of how you got into, unless you want to, but do you have any favorites? What have you been playing recently or hearing recently?
My experience is pretty limited. I started playing when I was like in college, randomly. I started with, of course, like D&D as everybody's like intro, but then they eventually steer away. You know,
true story.
Yeah, that's me just dunking on everybody. But anyway, yeah, my experience is pretty limited. Not really. I'm in the sphere, but I to be honest, I've never had the group dynamic that you need for like consistent play. So I've never really had that. So I like to learn about games through other people, through other podcasts. I'm on an actual play, but like it's mostly narrative driven. And like for 5 years been making like a world building podcast and a character creation one. So my interest usually lies in world building games much more so. My favorite one, Jeez, I'm going to list a few because they're all indie games and I don't want to like pick favorites of those. Session never. Zero by Megan Cross is really good. Now that's what I call Street Magic is really good. Yeah. I really like, oh, it has a different name now. Shit. I'm just going to have to go to my itch, but I have like hundreds of games on that now from those packages, from mm-hmm. the bundles. Fuck. So, hold on. Let me just browse my catalog real quick. Yeah. No, but which ones did I buy? Because there's ones that are like, you know, there are ones that are in bundles, and then there's mm-hmm. the ones. Hi, everybody. This is sick audio. how do you navigate itch? My library. There it is.
I still haven't figured it out.
I wrote the abilities for Perilous, which is a tabletop game that you should all be playing and just enjoy my silly abilities. The Land Whispers is effing sick. I would say that game is that Session Zero are like my fire picks for you. The Land Whispers is you build like a region and its history with card flipping. I love probability. Ooh. I love randomization in games where like you draw a card and you have to talk about with something, someone, mm-hmm. and that's how you build. It's basically my entire podcast, but like that is what I like. World building games that are collaborative, pretty much. Collaborative world building games, as it were. That's very much my flavor of favorite kind of game.
That's super cool and super exciting because, not going to lie, that's kind of my headspace for the past however long it's been since I found them.
Yeah.
I've always kind of like rubbed weird against the traditional like GM against the player sort of stuff. So when I found stuff that's like literally just make stuff up together.
Yeah, I was like, exactly.
Yeah, this is super awesome.
That's been my space in tabletop RPGs for 5 years now, is literally just, I don't care about anything. I just want to world build. I want to build myths and characters and legends and legendary weapons and shit like that.
Well, what? You can't really have a game without building the characters, so I totally understand. Yeah. I have hidden folders of all of the characters that I've made and never played. So
good. I mean, that's the way. That is literally, once again, is literally my podcast. There's 100 now, and like it's like 200 episodes of characters that we've made. I will never play any of them.
But they still exist, and they still exist. Just because we say it into the world, that's interesting to us. It's there and it's cool and we can experience
it. It becomes very real,
which is exciting because that's a lot of what this game is.
Love it.
Even the character creation feels like you're playing the game because you're there breathing life into the world. That's super exciting and kind of answers my next question. Excitement for world building that you were talking about. What is your favorite thing that you get to do in games? What keeps you coming back for more? If you want to get more specific, you can, but you can also just gush about world building some more too.
Yeah, it's pretty much experiencing. So the thing that I always find very interesting is when people create their own worlds, not like there's nothing wrong with buying the books, mm-hmm. you know, but when like you have a friend who's like, I have been creating my own world and then you get to play in it. It always reminds me of, do you know what Tiny Towns are? Those people who craft Tiny Towns?
Yeah.
It reminds me of getting to, it is the closest thing you can get to playing with action figures or playing in a tiny town, because I always think of it as like, you know, the person running the game or who wrote the world is the person who is overlooking the tiny town and adding in buildings as you go. And everybody else shrinks down into a smaller scale and gets to experience that little tiny world and all these intricate details and surprises that someone left for you to find. Like, how cool is that? It's like a treasure hunt of story beats.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing.
That is so cool. And it really is just like, even in like the traditional like GMing, like a GM and player sense, I always found it cool when you would like play through something and you notice something and you see the GM get excited and be like, I know you were waiting for that.
Yes, exactly. Because like they spent a lot of time on it.
Yeah.
The love part that goes into it is is my favorite part, like the care. Yeah. And that's why I'm always like, don't buy the books. I mean, you can, because somebody put a lot of love into that. But give somebody who might be like, you know, struggling a little more some of that money. Buy their world book instead.
Yeah. And then, you know, you don't necessarily have to be locked down to somebody else's ideas if you don't
exactly.
want to.
Yeah, exactly. There's more wiggle room.
One of my favorite things is always just like seeing everybody's different ideas, because most of the time, even when I'm like a GM, I can't think of half of the stuff my players come up with. So I'm like, yes, please give yeah. this to me.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, and it's so cool just weaving all of that together. And
it really is.
Just getting so excited about stuff you find cool.
Exactly. It's such a, what a concept, right? But the idea that you can make connections over things you find cool.
Right?
It's
and
such
even
a
just
sad
make connections
thing,
in this fake world that we're building.
I know. And it becomes sort of realer than real life over yeah. time. And that's yeah. an MMORPG.
Oh, I mean, it is really true, though. Literally, with one of my other guests, I was talking about how, like, useful RPGs can be to just, like, learn. And like, not even just about, like, what other people find cool, but just about other people and about yourself, too.
Sorry. I completely agree. It's a great way to see people's inner workings and the things that they want to see in the world sometimes, and like their yeah. greatest fears and greatest triumphs sometimes meant when they're being vulnerable in their writing, those mm-hmm. things can manifest in fictional worlds. And that is literally my entire contribution to the show. It's like, oh, by the way, it's called All My Fantasy Children. You know, if nobody knows what the fuck I'm talking about, but it's like a world where me and my friend from, I've been friends with him since we were 15 and I'm fucking 34. So it's been a minute. Him and me and Jeff Stormer sit down, and every week we take a listener submitted prompt and we like turn it into an original character or world detail or myth or legend or just something like how magic works or how nature works in a new original world that we're writing. But in it, we've noticed that we've been putting stuff from our own lives, and just the contributions of both of us mixing together have mm-hmm. really made something really cool, because you know, you don't know that sometimes when you're talking about like moths or something, I might find out later, Jeff is like, oh my God, I am terrified of those. And that's why that episode tended to be like, it steered more toward the horror genre. And we talked about a haunted house, but like, you know, ruled by a moth lord. I'm like, oh my God, that's so fascinating. And you learn so much about the people you're collaborating with when you do this, that it's my favorite shit in the world, because everybody has favorite tropes and there's a reason yeah. that why they like them and lean into them. And you kind of figure that out while working with them long enough that you're like, oh, that's why you like Gundam. Cool. Oh my God. No wonder every one of our, you know, a lot of our stories involve somebody entering like a suit of armor or something to keep them safe or something that, you know, they're vulnerable. So they step inside the form of something stronger than themselves. And you're yeah. like, it's because you like Gundam and because, you know, you are insecure. Oh my God. You know, it's a fucking world building stuff is really deep down. Really cool. It's my favorite thing. I love that we're going to play this game. But part of me is also like, oh, that part's, I want to learn about the world itself more, you know, and then you get to play in it. But I like the world building part first.
That, well, all of that that you're saying makes me even more excited to get into this too, because not only are we playing, as we play, the rules literally help us actively build the world too. So It's all world building, or it's all play. You can literally do whatever you want in this game.
Hell yeah.
Is absolutely exciting. And honestly, what you are saying is one of my favorite reasons that I started this podcast, to meet a bunch of people who world build and like have ideas in their head in cool ways.
It's a great way to do it.
Learn. And,
yeah.
And get excited about what other people are excited about.
Completely. Yeah. It's a great way to, you're doing it right.
I appreciate that. Cause you know, like most people, I always think I'm doing it wrong every day, but I'm doing it in my right way. That's what we're all doing.
Exactly.
Okay. So with those, exuberant emotions, let's actually get into our character creation right now.
Excellent.
I know I threw a bunch of stuff at you before we hopped on the recording.
Yeah.
But do you have an idea of one of the playbooks that you're leaning
towards?
I do.
I like the pilgrim for this, and I'm picking, it's choose an animal, and I'm picking a ceaseless animal, and I'm gonna pick a gray wolf.
Ooh. Is there any particular reason that you want to tell us a little bit more about maybe why you chose this, or
also
get into it later if you want.
I love I'm a big JRPG person, and a lot of those tropes and story beats are a lot of the times people on what is essentially a pilgrimage, you know, Final Fantasy is my jam. Four warriors of light going to save the crystals, save the world. And you travel all around the world, meeting hundreds of people, all in the purpose of getting to a place where you do something. Final Fantasy X, it's, you know, going on the literal pilgrimage, collect all the magic summoning beasts, and then fight the final boss. I am a huge fucking fan of that. It is the most, this pilgrim playbook is the most RPG one of them, in my opinion. They're all, like, you know, implied of like classes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But for me, it sets up for a one shot so well, because there's already a quest in place. It's already given, you know, you already have that locked and loaded. And I fuck with it.
Do you have an idea of what this quest is, or is that something that we're finding along the way?
Sorry, my brain goes real fast. So I'm like already, I'm like, yes, yes, and yes. So I saw a ceaseless animal, and I thought of wolves because, like, people think of wolves as like this pack hunter, efficient. Wolves go really long times without eating. It's fucking brutal being a wolf, because you have to chase down shit like fucking deer, antelope, you know, things like that can run faster than you, longer than you can. So you basically wear them down and catch them when they're off guard, or wait till they're wounded, or then you kill them, because you're a good hunter, but it's a battle of attrition a lot of times, and just persistence. So I thought that was perfect for the pilgrim, because I'm thinking, like, I'm going to go, instead, there's a pack of wolf people, right? Can I give that yet, or no, not yet?
Oh yeah, give
okay.
As
so
much
my
as
first,
little as you
my
want.
First thought is that there's a pack of wolf people. It's like a town, a city, whatever. We'll say a small hamlet, you know, of wolf people, and all these silver wolves. Everything's going to shit because there is something they need that they don't have. Oh, I love this trope so much. Nature is kind of turning, and no one knows why. Berries are drying up, which means like the animals have nothing to eat, and therefore like the hunting game has been really shitty lately. There's not a lot of food going around because nature, it's the seasons are all out of whack, and it's been a really messed up period for the kind of like ecological balance is kind of disrupted. And so my character has to go on a quest to figure out the magical reason behind this ecological imbalance and restore nature. There. Boom. That was not that bad, considering that I literally just made that up.
That is amazing. And honestly, so perfect, especially when you talked about the seasons being out of whack, because there's this sort of like through line between all the episodes of this podcast so far, where we take the seasons and turn them on their head.
Perfect.
We started with what I've been calling reverse autumn, where, you know, it gets warmer in the spring, but the leaves start turning into reds instead of greens. The greens are supposed to be more of like the wintry dead colors. Instead of the leaves falling in the like fall time, they like simmer and like combust into blue dust that goes into the sky, which then mixes with the snow, making different minerals and making the snow look cool in different places.
Yes.
So I'm all for wild seasons. And we can definitely talk about what that looks like either now if you want, or when we get into the actual play half of stuff. Cause
let's do that
view of stuff.
Cause it's with a pilgrim, it's really fun. Like if someone's on a journey for a reason, they are something I really like. It's a great, easy story, but storytelling tool is when someone has never been to a place before and they don't know it, you just kind of describe what you see rather than it's always going to look like this. It is a city of rust colored trees. And no, it's like, what do you see? You know, because you've never been there before.
how you're experiencing it.
Yeah. What is my little wolf think it looks like? You know? Yeah.
That's cool. Do you have a name and some pronouns for your wolf?
Oh, fuck.
it's okay if you don't.
That's my weakness. Hold on. I'm just going to look up gray shades. Nice. Shades of gray, basically.
I love random generators often, or I just look around the room and find something and twist it into something else.
I have one. Her last name is Gainsborough, which is also a Final Fantasy shout out, but it's also apparently a shade of gray.
Ooh.
Slate Gainsborough, and her pronouns are she, her. It's pretty good.
that's wow. I love
this. Is how we roll. This is how we roll. Names. This is. You're getting the very, this is the All My Fantasy Children speed round, lightning round feel. And when somebody said, like my podcasting partner, Jeff Stormer, usually comes up with names where I sit in silence for like a minute just going, fuck, what? You just came up with that? Yeah.
I love names because I'm both bad and kind of weirdly good at them. I mean, not good, but like I can come up with them on the spot kind of, but yeah. They're never great. Until like, I
no,
really
they're
think
great.
About it.
You got to lean into them more, and then they become great. Is
that's true?
If you don't believe in them, they won't believe in themselves. Okay, so we have Slate Gainsborough, and then choose two. Try to be until you've given up on.
Ooh, I love these pick two things. They're always so like more in depth than you really think they are.
Yeah. I have given up on being patient, and I have given up on being stoic. There's no need for that, because if we don't do this, we're going to die. So I got to get moving. I can't be patient, and I can't try to be, you know, I'm not trying to be the town hero, the town savior, blah, 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 blah. I'm just trying to fucking eat. I'm hungry.
Get it done.
What I'm trying to be is wise, and I'm trying to be healthy because I do not want to fucking. I think Slate is out there because like she wants to bring nature back, but part of it is for herself. I think like everybody in this town of gray wolves, which is called the Pine Den. It's everybody was just like, fuck, nature's, sorry if I'm cursing so much, by the way.
You're totally fine.
Okay,
we got
good.
The e-tag on iTunes.
Okay, good. So everyone said it sitting around on their asses for a really long time, like while nature's turning, fucking it's really bad, like things are looking bad, and everyone in the town is like, fuck, it's hard to hunt. Fuck, there's no food. Like, this sucks. And then, like, yeah, Slate is like, yeah, fucking, we should probably find out why. Everyone's like, yeah, but, like, it's fucking hard. So, what if we didn't? Everyone is basically, like, 16. Mm-hmm. And is like, fuck, that's rough. But what if we didn't do anything? And so, Slate is pretty much like, fuck, if no one's going to do it, I'm going to do it. So, it's not so much, like, for everyone else. It's also for, like, I'm trying to live.
Yeah.
I got shit I want to accomplish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Slate is probably like the equivalent in a wolf person to like 25. Mm-hmm. So like not a kid, but also not like grown.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, I'm trying to be wise and I'm trying to be healthy, because up until this point, I think Slate was a lot like everybody else in Pine Den, which was like, fuck it. We're wolves. This is fucking dope. You just kind of hang and like eat stuff. But yeah. Now that it's not working, I'm like, I think this is a coming of age tale where like I got to be a grown up.
All right. I like that. Yeah. Do you think there's any particular like other reason why everybody else is not doing anything? Or is it just because that's just like how they've lived from now? Or is it potentially part of what's happening? Like it's just kind of drained the drive out of it.
I don't necessarily want it to be like they're all hungry and tired and that's mm-hmm. why they're not doing it. I honestly think it's just kind of more of a big cultural change happened where it was like, fuck, like wolves, if you're not eating, you start following food. You yeah. leave. Like you don't really like hang. But these wolves kind of suck at being wolf people. So they're like, fuck, such is our lot. Guess yeah. we'll start eating dirt. And you're like, what? No. And Slate is kind of like, fuck that. I'll just figure this out and help these people because they can't help themselves.
Okay. Cool.
Trying to be, like I'll be mom to everybody if I have to be type thing.
I like that a lot. And there's an interesting dynamic here because I'll frame my character choices for you too. My character's name is Mina Leftfoot. She is a moth tender. And she is a large rabbit.
Yes.
I will ask you about how tall you think your pilgrim, your wolf is, because Mina is 6 feet tall.
Dang, it's a big ass bunny.
She's a big bunny. She's an Angora rabbit, so she's also super fluffy.
Cool.
Broad shoulders. She's got a newsy cap on between her ears with a little tuft of purple fur sticking out the front. She's got an orange scarf that has pins she likes to collect on it. And the two things that she is are curious and trusting.
Nice.
And the two things that she is not, but those are also two things that her job as a moth tender asks her to be, are proper and blunt.
Fuck yes. I love it.
So she's a big, nervous, kind of anxious rabbit who is just trying to get some letters delivered.
I love it. I love that a lot.
So, yeah, tell us a little bit more about your look. Slate has some things that you can choose from, 3 to 4, to describe your look. You can also go off of this list if you want to, if you think one particular thing sounds cool. These are just more suggestions, much like everything in this book.
I think, okay. If the look is very suggestive, then I think she's got on this like highwayman coat, you know, mm-hmm. That's the only kind of thing I can think of that's like frayed around the collar. The collar is very high, but it's frayed. She's just a typical, just a gray wolf person, I guess that's implied. Like she's a big old, she's a big old Balto furry. What else? What does she look like? She's got two different colored eyes because that's great. That's just my fun Animal Crossing cat reference. And she's got on her back, it's like a bag full of stuff, and it's just like random things that she thinks she will need for the journey. It's like assorted, like rope and like what we'd call adventuring tools, only because like it's what she thought she might need, but she's not prepared to go for it. She doesn't think this is going to take very long.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Out of character, do you have an idea if it would take long or not?
Oh god, yeah, I feel like this would take like several years and she's very unprepared.
Okay, wonderful. Which along those lines, something that I would bring up is when we do zoom into the actual play, there is no need to have the assumption that we haven't met. We can kind of zoom in on maybe a day in the life of us on this journey together. We can still talk about like, oh, did we meet in this way? Why did we start traveling together? But there is no pressure to start the adventure and end the adventure like in one session. It's just more along the lines of, we have these ideals. We've been going together for this reason. Here's what happens one time.
Yeah.
So it's very open on what we actually play out.
I love it.
And then the next thing for the Pilgrim playbook is a god or omen instructed you to pack your bags and travel somewhere very far from the land you called home. Choose 2 rumors or stories you've heard about this place and one that is actually true. So this is kind of like potentially dreaming up the end goal of where you're going.
Yeah. Okay. So there is a place that is rumored to exist called, it's called the Heartwood, and it's supposed to be like the literal source of, like, it's supposed to be what nature kind of manifests into, and it kind of condenses. And if I can get, I feel like if I can, I have to go fix the heart wood pretty much. I have to go find out if it's wounded, find out what's going on with it. It's basically, I'm imagining it as a tree that is like leaking a lot of sap, and the sap is literally what is keeps nature running. Mm-hmm. So like this tree is losing, it's basically bleeding, you know, and I have to go and stop the bleeding. But I have to choose two rumors or stories that I've heard about this place.
That's really cool. Oh, then imagery, definitely. By the way, I love that.
Thank you. I seek a land of great bounty where the trees offer endless fruit, fish leap from the rivers, and no one else has to work. It is a carnival. It is a carnival or a garden. Yeah, definitely that. Gosh. I have to pick two of these, right? Choose two rumors or stories.
If none of these interest you as well, you can either make up your own or just kind of like go with less than two.
Then yeah, I'm going to go with and one that is actually true. Oh yeah, that it's true that there is a fucking tree that's bleeding sap, and that sap needs to be, you know, I can keep it or something about it mm-hmm. will restore nature. But the things of rumors that are not true is that the place that you seek doesn't exist. It is a mirage. I think that's what everyone in the village told me.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like, there's no such thing as the heartwood. That's something we told you when you were six to make you shut up and go to bed. And like, you know, you seek a place at the very edge of the world and nothing lies beyond it. It is a desert. Oh, I like that. That it's at the edge of the world and nothing lies beyond it. Whether it's the edge of Slate's world or something, it is...
Mm-hmm.
It is very ominous where the heartwood is.
I like that. I like that. That's really cool. And just as a reference, it is a desert or a mirror thing are references to what are called natures in Wanderhome, which are essentially how we put together a place that we're traveling in. And certain natures let the actual land itself do things and like show things. So if we do actually want to visit the heartwood, we can draw from these specific natures if you want to visualize it in certain ways, if that's where you want to like have the play session be.
I mean, I'm down for whatever, honestly.
Yeah. But that's, you know, that's to discuss when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's super cool. I'm literally so many things have just like sprung out of my mind right now. I'm
excellent
in the back, like processing them. And one of the last things in the playbook is to choose the sign of your faith. Tell the table why you believe it will never lead you astray.
Oh,
something that you carry with you, I guess.
Yeah. I have a ring, and instead of a jewel, it's sort of a jewel. It's a piece of amber, and it's supposed to be from the heartwood.
So cool.
I've been doing this for a long time, just making up cool details on the spot.
is there something encased in the amber? Like,
of
like
course
one of
there
the berries
is.
Or something?
And so what it is, it's just a simple pine needle, but the pine needle... When I start out on this journey, the pine needle points toward the heartwood. It's like a little compass.
Oh, that is amazing.
Like it spins, like it, yeah. That's pretty good. I have to kind of tip my hat to that one to myself. That one's pretty fucking good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Do it. That is a cool idea.
Yeah. It's like my little guide. I just thought it was an average ring for so long. And then when I started on this journey, it started like move, like, started vibrating, and then it just swung in a direction and pointed. It was like, oh, okay.
The question is it actually pointing to the heartwood or somewhere else that you need to go?
No one knows.
Oh my gosh, that's super cool. Okay, that is fundamentally the whole playbook. We've nice. Basically built your character, Slate, and the stuff that guides her and... gives us a little visual. The last thing in the playbook is some questions that connect our two characters together. But before we get to that, I'll read off some of the things that I chose for Mina and maybe jog your ideas of things that we could visualize.
Cool.
And then we will, I've got like two more interview questions that tie into the Haithland.
Great.
And then we can talk about how we met and what connects us on this journey.
Cool.
So for Mina, the look that I chose for her, just like the things I picked off the list, were a lunar calendar, small reading glasses, a map of the local moth tower, and the sense that I'm in over my head.
Love it.
And as a moth tender, I carry with me packages and letters to deliver. I'm mostly tossing them up in the air as ambiguous things that I could collect in an episode that I might choose to deliver it. That way it hasn't been like a year and a half and somebody hasn't gotten their letter.
Of course.
But the ones that I carry with me are a summons from the King of the Floating Mountain, an ominous like figure within the book, for a cheerful old farmer with a big family. A basket of homemade candies for a cheerful young rabbit who just moved to the big city. And this last one is one that I actually am currently carrying with me, because I found it in a moth tower that was sunken underwater, and I carried it with me. And
that's awesome.
The stuff you've been saying threw some imagery at me, because this is a hand-knit sweater for the venerable god of the ancient forest.
Yes!
And a fun note, last episode, this hand-knit sweater additionally got a small and forgotten god who is called Ravel, who's basically a small and forgotten god of knitting and yarn. Ravel got knitted into this sweater to go on a journey. So.
Yes, that's awesome.
Perhaps this sweater is the thing that can help.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Hopefully.
We'll see. Because I don't even know what the ancient forest is or where it is. It just literally had a tag on the sweater that said, bring this to the ancient forest. And two things I always carry with me are the wisdom of my caring adoptive mother, who reminded me to always be myself. I use that to like interject with sentiments that, as my mother always told me here and there, and a promise I made to my best friend that weighs heavy on my heart. There is a fire truck leaving.
All good.
Hopefully you can hear it. And that promise is that my best friend and I would eventually work at a moth tower together, but I left our hometown, so my best friend is still there, and I'm on this journey, and I remember that every day, and I'm like, well, okay.
That's right.
In the future.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's my character as well. Mina is who you will be journeying with.
Great.
And let's talk about then the stuff that bonds us together on this journey.
Excellent.
There are these ask one to the left and one to the right questions. If there's any one of these that piques your interest to ask me about kind of how we met or what's going on, you can also make up one. I potentially will make up one.
Cool. I have, I like, what do you know about the place that I seek that I haven't yet grasped?
Ooh, interesting. So, okay. I think that something that Mina knows has to do with kind of the nature of the way things happen in Wanderhome. And from what I can gather, Slate seems very much on the path of, if I find this, everything will be fixed.
Mm.
And what Mina knows is it's not that simple in Wanderhome, or it's not that simple in the Haith. What we can find, what we can do, will have the potential to fix things. But it might not be as fast as you're hoping, and it might not be in the way that you think. So perhaps you're like, okay, we're going to find this tree. We're going to slap some thing on it to get the sap to stop going, and it's all going to be good. And I'm just like, but wait, how would that work?
Yeah.
There's got to be something else in between.
I know. Poor naive wolf.
Maybe I'm constantly saying that at certain points, which is like, okay, but what's the next step?
Yes.
And my question, oh gosh, I've asked things off of my list before. Let me find it to see if any of them fit, but I might make up my own. I guess I'm going to... Oh, gosh. I kind of want to get at the point of asking why I decided to go with you.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas of maybe, like, if anything particular happened where it was where I was just like, okay, we've been traveling together kind of for a little bit, but I've got to come with you.
I think so. What I want to pitch is that Slate is, sorry, I keep clearing my throat,
but
Slate is very good at surviving. Mm-hmm. I was looking ahead at some things I can always do, and mine was shield myself from harsh conditions.
Yes.
And so I think that Slate is very good at surviving and tracking and wolf shit, smelling, mm-hmm. you know, like I know where I'm going. She's very determined. She's very driven. And I can kind of maybe help keep you alive in a place you've never been.
Oh, okay.
That's what my first thought was.
Okay, so maybe I'm on my way to try and find this ancient forest.
Yeah.
But I've kind of navigated into a place where the seasons have started going all weird. And it's not something I've done before. So I'm just like, I don't know how to navigate this. And I've come across you and you're like, okay, I kind of understand.
Yes, I kind of have a gist. Let's get going, you know, yeah. Tag along. Let's do this.
Nice. I like that a lot. And with that, my last two questions, the first of which I'm going to ask is sort of like projecting a wish into this session in front of us. But it's, what are you looking forward to exploring most in the Heathland? Whether it is a physical location, whether right now you are like, I want to be in the Heartwood, I want to figure this stuff out, or if it's more metaphorical, like maybe you want to reach a certain emotional feel with your character. Just, is there anything that you're super psyched about getting into?
I think she wants to know if the Heartwood is real or not, because that's always been something, like, you know, she has this gem that's supposed to be sap from the Heartwood. People mm-hmm. said that that's bullshit her whole life, and part of her has always wanted it to be real, you know, for her entire life. And so seeing it would just clear up doubts that she might have had of the world as a whole, that mm-hmm. like, you know, there's more than what you see type shit out there.
I like that. And my last question, which maybe gives you the potential to answer that question. I guess it's less of a question, but I ask every guest that I have on to bring a physical attribute into existence within the Heathland, whether it's something small or large or in depth or just super vague. The more guests I have, the more just interesting places I will have in the land. Whether we explore them or not. If you want to read some examples, they are on slide 9 in the Google slide I gave you, but I can also talk through them.
No, let me click through. Physical attributes of the Heath. Four moons. One of the which is equally... Ooh.
Yeah. Feel free to be as nerdy as you want, because the first one is mine, and I said that one of the moons is never moving in the sky.
Or just add one in?
Yeah.
Something about the world. Something about the world that is true. Goodness.
It could be the Heartwood if that's what you want. But we can also keep that vague. It could also literally just be like, I want there to be a cool lake.
I do want the Heartwood to be real, but the myth of it varies based on the region. Ooh. Like some people think that by drinking the sap, you can be immortal. Some people think that like the heartwood is literally like the nexus of the entire world. Some people think it's just a fucking forest. Mm-hmm. Like that it's the heartwood. Like who gives a shit? But there are myths and legends and stories based on this place that span multiple cultures.
Yeah. I like
you have
that.
To keep the land though. You said it's T-E-H instead of the. You have to keep it, please. The myth of the heartwood is as vast as the land. That's how you read it, because that's how see, this is how fun you can have. That's how the wolves talk.
Oh, okay.
They just spell V T E H. So you're just being a wolf.
I love it. Well, yeah, established that my character is fluent in multiple dialects or languages.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I did deliver a letter to a beetle, and it was in beetle. Yes.
Okay, so that works really well. I like the idea that these wolves, by the way, are kind of hidden away. Like, they don't really, they kind of just like hang out with their pack. They don't really like fuck around with many other people. So meeting you, it's like, whoa. Hello, but you speak what I do, so it's like, oh, okay, you're on the level, you're chill.
Yeah.
You can hang with the pack. Oh, but at first, I will say I was very weary. I was very nervous. Slate was very nervous at first.
Just because it's on my mind, do you have a size in mind for Slate? It can be literally anything. We've had literally a tiny lemming to the size.
I'm thinking like
tall.
Standing on her hind legs, she's probably like 5'3".
Okay.
But when she's on all fours, for some reason, she looks very long. Like it looks much bigger on all fours. I think it's because of the broadness of her shoulders. Mm-hmm. So when she's on all fours, there's that big like pit bull looking, you know, haunch to her. Mm-hmm. But on the hind legs, she's like 5'3".
I like that. Super cool.
Think more like werewolf than gray wolf. It's like big. It's like a thick. This is a thick gray wolf. So like we would see it and be like, that's a motherfucking werewolf or like a dire wolf or something like that.
Why did that wolf just come out of the gym?
Yeah, this is a buff wolf.
It can bench more than me.
You know, this is a swole dog. What is a wolf really but a swole dog?
A swole dog who hasn't been to the barber in a while.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that's all the most salient points that we have for character creation. Before we take our break, before jumping into the actual play stuff, is there anything else that you would like to bring up, discuss, just chat about? Anything else to bring into the world?
No, I'm good with this. This is good. I like this a lot.
All right. I am super excited to explore.